You're listening to the Growing Up Rock Podcast with your host, Stephen Michael, and Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
Hollywood, what's happening, brother?
I finally got out this week.
You finally got out of what? Jail? Prison? What?
No, I finally got out and saw a show.
I hear. You went and saw Warrant. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, so there's this county fair. There's a bunch of county fairs that happen in Wisconsin, and there's one that happens like about 6 miles from where I live, and it's called the Waukesha County Fair. We had second row seats, and they had like a cover band that played in like a different tent.
Yeah.
Before them, did songs like, you know, Motley Crue, Skid Row, that kind of thing. It was kind of a hair metal cover band. And then they played for about an hour 15, an hour 20. Sounded great. Did 16 songs. And, you know, for the Poisons out there, just in case Brett Michaels is listening to this, or for the Paul Stanleys and Gene Simmons out there that are out there and think they don't ever have to change their set list, they did only Broken Heart. They did The Hole in My Wall. They did really? Dusty's Revenge.
Wow.
Right? So, you know, and they did Down Boys, Sure Foot Goes to Me, Big Talk, I Saw Red, 32 Pennies. They did the hits, you know, yeah. Blind Faith, Uncle yeah. Tab. But Louder, Harder, Faster. They did So Damn Pretty, which they hardly ever do. So it's like, you can throw in songs. And even when they would throw in a new song, there'd be conversation. Of course, Robert's worried a little bit that people start going to the bathroom or whatever. So he's like, all right, people, this is going to be a new song. Now, not everybody might know it, but don't go on Facebook. Don't start going on Twitter and not paying attention to me. Pay attention, right? We need your help on this song. So he was kind of making fun of that people don't want new songs.
Yeah.
They got applause on every song they did.
How'd your son like it?
He said that was better than the Kiss Def Leppard show we saw a couple of years ago.
Right on. What'd they open with?
Sure Feels Good to Me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man, fantastic. I saw that you streamed a little bit. I didn't catch the streams, but I did see that you're streaming. So I did a concert last night. I worked last night. And so last night was Smashing Pumpkins. Are you at all a Smashing Pumpkins fan, casual fan? What's your take on Smashing Pumpkins?
I saw them once, never liked them, and seeing them dressed up like the Beatles and open for Kiss did not help.
Really? They opened for Kiss?
Yeah. Halloween night, Dodger Stadium. Me, my brother, Tony, and his brother, all four of us drove down there and saw the first Psycho Circus show.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And they didn't transfer well in a stadium setting, huh?
No. And I just never been a big fan of the songs either. So,
yeah. Well, so my take on the Smashing Pumpkins is I'm a casual fan. I'm really picky about which songs I like, which songs I don't like. And probably it's maybe 50-50, maybe 40-50 to songs that I like versus songs I don't like. I'm a little bit more of a fan of Gish, their earlier record, much more before they got really successful. But I do like Siamese Dream. I liked a little bit off of Melancholy. So I liked a few things here and there. But I have to say last night, their set was pretty cool in terms of just the stage show. They had a lot of moving parts, like a lot of moving stage sets, a lot of costume changes, and a lot of moving lights on tracks and things like that. So it was visually pleasing, if that makes any sense to you.
Right. Okay.
They sounded great. They sounded fantastic, because that's a band that really, if their sound is not good, they're going to be a train wreck, because, you know, some of their songs, they're a little train wrecky, right? A little bit of that grunge train wrecky, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, right?
I know what you mean.
Okay. So there was potential there for that train wreck, but I have to give credit to the sound company and the sound guys and the band themselves, because it was pretty tight and it sounded really quite good. So I had great view because I was doing floor access probably 10 rows off the stage, maybe. I saw the whole thing. I will tell you this, that somewhere between their first album and their reunion this year, they decided that they were going to go the Bruce Springsteen route. They paid 3 hours, man.
Wow.
3 hours.
Did they play other people's music? They have 3 hours full of music? They have that much?
So that brings me to an interesting point. I'm glad you asked. They did play 3 cover songs. You want to take a shot at what those 3 cover songs were?
Green Day, The Turtles, and The Monkees.
No, absolutely wrong.
Oh, okay.
You are wrong, sir. Now, I'll break it down for you like this. They played Ground Control to Major Tom, right? Bowie. Oh,
okay.
They played Stairway to Heaven.
Okay.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I have to say they rearranged it, and he played a lot of it on keyboard, and it was kind of cool. But during the song, they marched out this like Lady Madonna on a float thing with monks carrying it. Yeah, I really don't know.
Wow.
They marched right past me. I don't know what the statement there was. Christianity, not Christianity. I couldn't tell you.
Wow.
So have no clue. And then they played Landslide, Fleetwood Mac.
Wow. Okay.
So those were the 3 cover songs they played. I may be missing one there because I kind of forgot about Landslide, but I may even be missing one. But those are the 3 covers I remember they played. So the opening number, I remember why I don't like this era, Sonny. I don't like this era because it kind of bums me out a little bit.
Well, yeah, it's bummer music. That's why when grunge came, I'm like, what happened to like sex, drug, and rock and roll? Like, I want songs about women
and partying. I'm there, yeah, with you, brother. I mean, so the first song, listen, far be it from me to argue with true artistry, and I always say, unless you've walked a mile in that person's shoes, you don't know what pain and suffering the individual's gone through. So I get it. So Corgan obviously had a troubled youth at some point. Because the first song, he walks out there and he does this song with all these images in back that, you know, he's pushing the zero thing and he's pushing the no future thing. And he's showing childhood pictures of himself, and he's drawing, you know, horns on his little kid pictures and just all this stuff. And it was just sort of depressing, I'll be honest. And again, to anybody who's a huge Smashing Pumpkins fan and knows the real story, like I said, I'm sure the guy has had problems. I'm sure he had a troubled youth. Until you walk a mile in that person's shoe. I get it. I really do get it. But if I'm going to a concert, I'm trying to leave reality and have a good time, and that doesn't say good time to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I respected it. I respected the artistry. I respected the whole show as a package. I thought it sounded great. There are quite a few songs that I like. I mean, I love Cherub Rock. I love 1979. I love whatever that song is, World is a Vampire. That tune, I like that tune a lot. You know, there are several songs that I like by this band, but that was my take on it. So that was how I spent 5 hours of my evening last night, 6 hours of my evening last night.
Wow. And then on the contrary, Warrant opens with Sure Feels Good to Me and Down Boys.
Thank God. Thank God for rock and roll, son.
That's right.
So, Sonny, let me ask you something. Does it bother you to hold things under lock and key while you decide if lightning strikes again? Do you need to decide if there will be hell to pay for someone who fights tooth and nail to save your love while the whole time you were only there seriously to erase the slate? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but to me that sounds a little dysfunctional. I think, Sonny, you need to do some soul searching, and I think you need to find a way to start breaking the chains from all these crazy people you hang out with. Am I right?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
How'd I do, man?
You did pretty good. You did pretty good.
I think I got them all in there.
I usually do that stuff. That was pretty good.
You know, except for the live records and stuff like that.
That's pretty good.
I got the important ones in there.
Yeah, that's true.
So that brings us to what we're doing today. Sonny, I think that you and I are doing our actual first top five list. I mean, if you don't count the end of year thing, I think this is actually our first top five episode, if I'm not mistaken, is it?
Yeah, it is. But it's my top five. It's actually kind of like my number 10 through 15, because I didn't want to play just the hits, because I love all the hits.
All right. So let's talk about this a little bit today.
Yeah.
We are doing our first top five show episode. But the name of this episode is our top five Dokken songs at this minute. And it is truly at this minute, because I'll be honest with you, and I think, Sonny, you'll back me up, we're pretty huge fans of Rocking with Dokken. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, Dokken has been a band that has literally been there. I've been with Dokken from the beginning with Breaking the Chains and Tooth and Nail, and they're one of my growing up rock bands for sure. I remember writing the logo on my folders in high school, and just a huge fan of Dokken. So I've been there from kind of the beginning. And for me to choose my top five, it's impossible. I mean, I can't do it. There are definitely songs that I like more than others. There are definitely songs that I don't necessarily hate, but I don't necessarily love them. So there's songs that are kind of meh, but those are few and far between. You can probably fill my love list with 60, 70 Dokken songs right off the bat, I'm guessing, maybe. What do you think there, Sonny? What's your take on Dokken?
Yeah, so I've been there pretty much from, I would say, about 85, 86. So that's kind of when I first heard Dokken and heard people talking about it in high school and stuff.
Yeah,
I've seen them 9-10 times, different incarnations of the band. I would say my sweet spot is Tooth and Nail to Dysfunctional. That's my sweet spot. Almost love everything on all four of those albums. After that, love, hate. So, you know, I listened to every song after Dysfunctional all the way through the last album. I liked half of it. I didn't like half of it. So there's definitely a magic missing. The grease on the joystick is just right.
That's what she said.
When it's Lynch and Dokken. When it's not Lynch and Dokken, it's not a problem that there's bad guitar work. It's just, for whatever reason, the mixture to me is just not always right.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. My sweet spot, just as we said, the 3 years difference in you and I, it always comes into play. It comes into play here. So I got into them probably 82-ish, I think, if my math is right. But rounding about their sophomore, junior year of high school. And I saw them a few times. Haven't seen them near as many times as you. But again, that's the whole West Coast Bible Belt thing. I didn't have the opportunity to see them that many times. I know I saw them on the Last in Line tour opening up for Dio, and it was fantastic. I loved it. That might have been one of the only earlier times that I saw them, and then I've seen them over the years a few different times, but not in the original incarnation. So that was my take on it. But listen, we're going to talk a whole lot about Dokken here coming up, but before we dig into this and get into our top five, we got some house cleaning to do. So let's start doing that house cleaning. Samantha.
Everyone's got a rock and roll story to tell, and we want to hear yours. So go to our website at growinguprock.com. That's one word, growinguprock.com. Or visit us on our Facebook page at Growing Up Rock and tell us all about it.
All right, so Grown Ups of the Week, and we got a bunch of them that shared our last episode with Bob Nalbandian, and we also got some shares right away from the Podchaser episode that we did. So the grownups of the week. These are the folks that shared us on Facebook and retweeted us on Twitter. Chad Rees, Tony Rambo, Mike Parnell, Aaron Baker, Bill Elam, Bill Algae, Dave Saker, Lady Lake Music, End of Days Music, Rodney Dixon, Kristen Kivo, Terry Lee Bolton, Hairnut Radio, Alan Tate, Marcelo Verzi, Janet Eck, Jody Habnot, Jay Sabluski, Little Fish, Talking Metal, Nighthawk, Andrew Jacobs, Music Palace Radio, Electric Circus Radio, Bella Lowe's 1966, Dirk Sokolowski, Mark Winder 8, Ogata, David Hudson, Shawana Lee, David Cathy, Vinnie Folletti, I Love It Loudcast, Focus on Metal, Steve Wright, Jason Alexander, Daryl Alber, Classic Rock Drops, Eladio, The Power Chord Channel, Digital Kill, DNR Studio CEO, Metal Empire Mag, Tammy Sullivan, our buddy Adam Cox, Podcast Rock City, Decibel Geek, Chris Sinzak, Tony Masalam, Fast Vinny, Tom Dust, Ages of Rock Podcast, Peter Cessary, Gons, Courtney Cronin Dold, Jason Kearney, Victor Ruiz, and Ear Peeler, which they're awesome. Thank you, Victor. Save Rock and Metal, The Peter Principles, Carrie Davis, and I'll festinate here for a second. Carrie has two daughters named Bryce and Taryn, and they're new young fans, so I appreciate them listening, and thank you very much for hooking your best friend up with the kids listening there. Restrained, who supplies all our music, Paris Records, which definitely helped us out with some new bands that we heard, and then Podchaser shared us, and I will tell you, as of right now, we are the number one music podcast on Podchaser. We have like 80 ratings.
Whoop, whoop.
So Podchaser has really been good. If you're listening right now and you have not done a Podchaser rating or review, it is super easy. Just go to www.podchaser.com. You register. All it takes is a logon ID, a password, and an email, and you're good to go. You can rate episodes. You can rate shows. You can rate us. We'd love it if you left a comment. So thank you, everybody, for sharing.
Help us out, people. Go to Podchaser and leave us a review on an episode or on the show or both. And just to correct my friend Hollywood Pooney there, Restrain, they're awesome. And they do quite a bit of our transition and intro music, but they're not responsible for all our music because, you know.
I realized that after I said it.
Because, you know, otherwise they'd be doing like Unchain the Night and freaking She Just Got Lucky and, you know, all that shit.
You know, Tony's favorite guitarist is George Lynch, and Dokken is one of his favorite bands. I forgot about that.
I know Tony and Dokken come together, and in fact, we talk all about it on episode, like, what, four, two. Five, six,
ten? Six, ten, nine, something like that.
Go in our catalog and check out our interview with Tony from Restrain. They're a killer band. If you haven't heard them, go check them out because they're a great band. And so, Sonny, do you still love it loud?
Still love it loud? So do we. Rockin' Pod returns to Nashville on Saturday, August 25th. Over 25 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on-site. Vinyl and memorabilia dealers selling the best in rock merchandise. And awesome rock musicians and personalities participating in signing sessions and on-stage panel discussions throughout the day. Special guests include current and former members of Korn, Kiss, Angel, Winger, Loudness, Accept, Bang Tango, Kick Tracy, as well as producers that have worked with Slayer, Ozzy, Alice Cooper, Seven Dust, and many more. More guests being added weekly. Don't miss your chance to be part of an awesome celebration of all things rock. Rockin' Pod takes place at the legendary Nashville Palace, August 25th, 2018. More details available at rockinpod.com. That's rockinpod.com. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo, brought to you by Blind Tiger Record Club, School of Rock Nashville, and School of Rock Franklin, a DBG Productions event.
That's right, people. Rockin' Pod 2 is quickly approaching in Nashville. Go find out all the details. You can find them out from that commercial, or you can go to the show notes in growinguprock.com, and all the details will be there for you. So go check it out. If you're in and around Nashville or have any way to get into Nashville at the end of August, I suggest you do so. It's going to be a fantastic weekend, not just a day, but a fantastic weekend. That is all I got to say about that. Now, what time is it? It's time to crack it up.
Crack me up!
It's time for the Crank It Up New Music Spotlight.
I don't know what key that was in. I'm not awesome at it, but that was bad.
Dude, anyway. To me, that sounded like a super young Mark Torian.
Wow. If I was Mark right now, I'd just jump off the nearest bridge.
Listen, Sonny, I'm having a nice fine glass of red wine, so let me take a little bit more sip and it'll loosen up my vocal cords and I can hit that note, as you say, in the key of Q flat minor.
Yeah. All right, so Crank It Up Spotlight. So there is a San Francisco Bay Area band from Antioch, California, which is actually just a few miles from where I live in San Francisco, near San Francisco. Band's called Bad Boy Eddie, and that's E-D-D-Y. Energetic live band. I've seen them live a couple of times. They opened for the Iron Maidens. I remember I saw them in a club open for the Iron Maidens. And I think they've played with Restrained, too, because I've seen them a couple of times since then. They are currently signed to a record label called Demon Doll Records. And Demon Doll Records has a bunch of other artists too, some old school guys. You can buy their CD online. It's five guys, Eddie Vega on vocals, Dave Saker and Rob Peterson on guitars, Steve Jones on bass, and then Larry Burnell on drums. And these guys...
I thought Steve Jones was in the Sex Pistols.
Well, I don't know. I guess there's another Steve Jones. I'm sure there's lots of Steve Joneses. It might not be Steve Jones. It might be Steve Jones. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm guessing Jones in America is basically like Poonie and Indian.
Yeah. Okay. There's not that many of us. Don't worry. There's not that many of us. So, you know, at first I was going to play the song and then tell you what I thought they sounded like, but I want to put in your head what they sound like before we roll the song. To me, they sound like Warrant plus Wasp. Check this out. She Spits Venom.
Yeah! Mission, jump by me everywhere.
to let her go.
So I dig that tune. They sent us a couple songs. They look cool. They look straight out the, you know, straight out that Tom that I love so much. So they look pretty cool in the promo picture. I like the songs. It sounds good. Sonically, it sounds good. So yeah, cool. Kind of a weird name, but okay, I get it. The singer owns the name. He's the probably the founder of the band. So there you go. I mean, that's so my guess. I don't know these guys, so.
They got a little wasp and a little Warrant to them, right? They got the rasp and the driving guitar, but then they got the melody of like a Warrant song.
Yeah, a little bit of Skid Row too thrown in there, a little bit of earlier Skid Row thrown in there.
Yeah, it's catchy stuff.
Let's get to the important questions here, Sonny. Do these guys go to Podchaser and leave us a review?
I hope so.
Because if not, I'm going to do like the record scratchy thing right in the middle of that song.
No, they're good guys. I connected with Dave the other day. They're playing at the Whiskey on July 28th.
Hey, listen, the world famous Whiskey, that's cool. You know, anybody that plays the Whiskey, hey, hats off to them.
That's right.
So very cool. All right, dude. That's pretty much enough of all this pre-game tailgating rhetoric. I think it's time to get into this episode. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do this. All right, it's time for our top five at this minute docking tunes between Sonny and I. And again, we want to tell you, keep the email at a minimum. I'm sure that we're going to miss plenty of songs that people are going to be like, why'd you pick that? Because we like it at this minute is the answer. And I don't think the world needs to hear Alone Again anymore. They know all about that song, or In My Dreams, or Breaking the Chains, or You Just Got Lucky. These are all songs that everybody knows. But one thing I do want to talk about a little bit, Sonny, because I'm sure a lot of the listeners that are our age are familiar with this band, but I did a very short little interview for Podchaser website the other day, and the girl that was interviewing me asked a really, really pertinent question, I thought. And she asked us about the podcast and how we go about educating the younger listeners that don't know anything about some of the music that we play or some of the bands we talk about. And I thought that that was really important, because you and I get in this frame of mind where we just kind of assume, listen, all the listeners are our age and all the listeners just kind of know who Dokken and Iron Maiden are. But what about the 15-year-old kid that is playing grown-up rock for the first time and doesn't know a whole lot about these bands, you know?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I guess I take it for granted, because my kids do know, because I'm always giving them a history lesson every time they're in the car about, you know who this is, right? You know, so I've gotten so far as to, you know, when somebody's playing a guitar solo, and they'll repeat the same lick like four times. I'm like, any idea who that is? And somebody will yell out, Ace! Because, you know, Ace does that. You know, he'll just keep doing the same thing over and over.
Hey, Sonny, so. I do the same thing with my wife. I do the same thing with my wife in the car. So do you have any idea who this person is and how it relates to this band? Yeah. And I'll quiz her. And she's getting better. God bless her. She's getting better. I mean, Jesus, she talked about Winger with us in the back of a car. What's up?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So, I think it is good just to kind of quickly educate. Sometimes people don't know. And there's facts. When I go on here and I read in Wikipedia, there's stuff that even I forget or didn't know about. So, you know, I kind of forget certain things that were part of this band because we didn't have Wikipedia back then when I was into the band, you know?
Yeah, no, makes sense.
So one thing that was interesting in Wikipedia, it says this band was formed in 79. And I don't think anybody really thinks the band was around that early, but they were in one form or another kind of on the Sunset Strip, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don was out there kind of by himself a little bit, picking up musicians here and there. He was there when Van Halen got signed. He was around at that time. And I think he was getting frustrated that stuff wasn't happening with him. That's why he ended up going overseas to record.
Yeah. And some people don't know. So the formation of this band, Don was out doing his own thing. George Lynch and Mick Brown were in a band called Exciter, and Exciter actually showcased the same night that Van Halen showcased at the Starwood, I think, if memory serves me correctly, for Gene Simmons. And Gene was actually there because he kind of preferred Exciter, but when he went there to see Exciter and Van Halen, I think Exciter had a pretty poor night. And he ended up loving Van Halen, if memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, that one's news to me. I didn't know that part. I knew the Exciter part. I didn't know the rest.
Yeah, that's actually a true thing. Google it.
Oh, okay.
No, but yeah, George Lynch and Mick Brown were in Exciter. And, you know, I won't go into all the details every last minute, but they end up with Don. And then Juan Crozier from Rat is in Dokken when they get their deal, and he bails for Rat, and in comes Pilsen, and the rest is history. And, you know, there's a lot more to it all than that and a lot more history, but this can't be a 3.5-hour show. So we're not the Smashing Pumpkins, Pooney.
Nice. I think one of the things that people don't always know is folks that listen to Dokken and know a little bit about him know that there's this history of George and Don fighting. But most people think those fights like started after they started gaining notoriety a little bit. Those fights were there from like day one. George never listened. He was never gonna listen. And Don, it was Don's band, and George was not gonna listen. So they've not ever really recorded in the same room ever. They've lost producers over it. And this was during like tooth and nail that we're losing producers. There were nobody, right? So that fight's been there forever.
Yeah, it has. I mean, they were, you know, there's a lot of competition on the Sunset Strip, and he was one of many that was on the Sunset Strip. I read somewhere, you know, because Lynch was around at the same time Eddie Van Halen was coming up. And so I remember reading, might have even been in Greg Renoff's book where, you know, Lynch used to go and try to seek out Van Halen practices and find out what Eddie was doing. And Eddie would do the whole back turn thing and, you know, all that stuff. So there was that competition, from day one there on the Sunset Strip between some of those, so-called guitar gods, right? I shouldn't say so-called, they were guitar gods. They are guitar gods.
Yeah. Randy Rhoads was in the middle of that. I mean, there's a lot happening at that point.
Yeah, man. Hallowed grounds, as I like to call them, for the kind of rock and roll that you and I love, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, dude. Well, shit. Should we get into this? I think there's going to be some surprises for a lot of people. I hope we turn people on to some Dokken songs or Dokken albums that maybe they have discounted because it's not the original lineup. You know, we do have a word of the day that we'll be working in throughout the podcast. So you guys figure it out. Go to our Facebook page. Let us know what you think that word is as we work it into the conversation. But I think that, you know, we went and we each picked what we thought was sort of a popular song or a song that most Dokken fans would know. But then we also went and said, you know, we really love this song, even though it's song 14 on one of the later records or something like that. You know, I mean, it's just like it's a mixture of John Levin and George Lynch, but there's some really, really good tunes in this mix of songs that we've selected. I have no problem with playing any of this stuff, and I guess I'll get us kicked off. Is there anything else you want to say before I kick us off?
Nope, let's go.
All right, let's get on it. So definitely mine starts off straight off that list that I just kind of talked about, which is I'm going to go to 2008's Lightning Strikes Again. This was a record with John Levin. And this song is, I want to say this might even be the closing track off the record, but I really, really like some of the lush vocal melody lines in this song. Definitely you can tell some of the kind of Beatlesque qualities in this song, but it's a heavy song, so take a listen.
No sense in talking till the morning comes.
So this album, of all the, I'm just going to say new albums to me are the albums after 2000 for Dokken. This album probably is the closest to classic Dokken, in my opinion. This song sounds like it could have been like a leftover demo from Dysfunctional, to be honest.
Yeah, it's good. The name of that song was This Fire. And again, just really kind of lush vocals. I love the melody lines in that song. It's a heavy song. It's a good solid record. But this is a good solid song. And this is the closing track on that record.
It is. Unless you get the European version, there was extra tracks on it.
I never liked the Europeans. I'm just kidding.
Nice.
I'm just kidding. I love them. Europeans know their metal. So, but no, I don't have that. Your turn, buddy.
All right. So my first pick, in my opinion, Back for the Attack from 87 is probably their perfection album. Everything kind of came together. It was the best songwriting. I love every song on that record. And I picked one that wasn't a single because, Dream Warriors, Heaven Sent, Burning Like a Flame, So Many Tears, Prisoner, those were all released as singles. But my favorite song of the album actually wasn't. Check this out, Standing in the Shadows. We'll be right back.
So I actually had this on my list, and when I saw you had already chose it, I had to pull it off. But I absolutely love Standing in the Shadows. I don't know if it's my favorite song on the record, because I kind of echo your thoughts where I just thought this album was amazing, which made it all the more kind of heartbreaking when the band announced their breakup. I remember I was hanging out, and my roommate and I were both huge Dokken fans, and my roommate bust into my room late one night, and he's like, dude, Dokken just announced they're breaking up. I'm like, fuck. Really? But yeah, it was, because I mean, it was shortly after this album was released, I want to say, that they kind of broke up, right?
Well, I saw them in 88, and I was so much a Dokken fan at that point. They played in Sacramento, they played in Oakland, and they played in San Francisco within 5 days, and I saw all three shows. And I don't even like Aerosmith, and Aerosmith was the headliner. Right. I just went to go see Dokken. I think I left early two of those shows because I didn't want to see Aerosmith anymore.
Dokken was the premier opening act at that point in time. I remember it that in those year spans, Dokken was never necessarily a headliner, but they were like the opening act. They were so primed because they had a big enough fan base to bring in and sell probably, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 tickets, but they weren't big enough to headline a stadium, or not a stadium, but an arena on their own. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I saw them three times headline, but they were all club dates. I've seen them open for Loverboy. I've seen them open for Aerosmith three times. I've seen them open for Alice Cooper. I've seen them open for Scorpions. And I think I heard in an interview once, and I can't remember if it was Don or George, the next album, like if they would have done an album in 89, they would have headlined a tour.
Yeah.
They were that big with Back for the Attack. When I found out they broke up, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. We just saw these guys.
Yeah.
Because I had seen them again. They played with Van Halen and Candlestick that July, same year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Dokken is set. Because everybody loved the set, but I'm heartbroken when they broke up.
Did you see the Monsters Rock tour?
Oh, of course I did.
Yeah, so I didn't see that. I mean, I would have loved to. That was like a dream tour when I was younger, but never came around where I lived or anything like that. So I think that was one of their big highlights as a band was that tour. You know.
Yeah, they don't break up. I figure they own 89 and 90 probably. But they've been fighting since the early 80s. They've been fighting since the day they got together. And there's something funky about that whole relationship.
All right, so I'm going to go to the newer and unknown stuff, to the absolutely known by all Dokken fans. This is probably the song that actually flipped the switch for me. It wasn't the first Dokken song I heard, but it was definitely one of the ones that flipped the switch for me. Check it out.
So not only was that song on MTV every 5 minutes, it felt like, damn VH1 classic. Now the only Dokken song they play is this Into the Fire video. I don't know why. There's other videos.
Dude, I loved the song. I love this video. I mean, this flipped the switch for me. This album, everything about Tooth and Nail, 1984's Tooth and Nail, was perfection. It was definitely a defining record in my sweet spot of growing up rock years. For sure, this record got played to death. I wore the shit out of this. I think I had this on vinyl, on cassette. One of the first CDs that I went out and bought once CDs were available. I mean, this record was very important to me. And Into the Fire was badass from start to finish. I loved everything about it.
Yeah, it's a great song. There's no, every Dokken fan knows that song, so no doubt.
Yeah, so that's my obvious Dokken top five pick for me. Yeah, that's it. There you go. Before we go any further, dude, I want to make sure that everybody knows that, you know, we festinated over these picks, right? I mean, there's so many different ways that we could have gone. And each time we'd pick something, kind of hesitate, and then we come back to it. And, you know, so carry on, man.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, so from a well-known song to a hidden gem, check this out. Maybe you never heard this.
Tell her, whoa, open up my eyes. Keep an
Okay, so they break up. They come back. They break up in 89. They come back in 93. And in 95, they released Dysfunctional. And I remember when I first got the album, I'm like, man, they got like more dark and serious. Like they were never really singing about girls and screwing and drinking. They weren't really, it was about relationships, but it wasn't really about partying. But it definitely got, the magic had changed a little bit. Because the songs were dragged just a little bit. The riffs weren't as aggressive, but there was a lot of catchiness to them. So that song you just heard, if you didn't know what song that was, is called Shadows of Life. And it's off of Dysfunctional. What'd you think about that song?
I like that song quite a bit. I think this album, you know, a lot of people took this album wrong. They didn't necessarily like it. But there's some really, really good stuff on this record. In fact, I was almost going to put something from this record, but then I festinate and I decided not put Too High to Get It Right. What was it? Too High.
Too High to Fly.
Too High to Fly. Too High to Get It Right's actually a Sep song. But yeah, Too High to Fly, I love quite a bit, but it's a 7-minute song. But I love that song.
Yeah. Dysfunctional is pretty good front to back, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll go that far, but I do like a lot of the stuff off that record. And I think it is an underrated record because fans didn't know how to take it. But, you know, yeah. Because I think they expected Back for the Attack or Tooth and Nail 2 when, you know, the band announced that they were, you know, this was the first record they were doing as a unit, right? As the original unit.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's funny? So they break up. They get back together, and the first album title is Dysfunctional.
Yeah. Go figure.
That's
well,
pretty funny.
No truer words could have been spoken, right?
That's right.
It is what it is. All right. Let's kick it off like I like to kick it off. Bang your heads, people. We'll be right back. right, so what more can be said from the kickoff track from 1987's Back from the Attack? Like Sonny already said, he loves it front to back. I echo it. I love it front to back. And the first song we heard off that record was the kickoff track, and it blew me away. And I love this song. I know it's not necessarily a deep track. It's not a single either, but this song gets my blood pumping.
It's one of my favorite guitar solos of all time. I probably have 10 or 15 that all kind of rank together. Lynch has got a few of them. This is one of them. That riff, especially the riff under the verse, it's unique. You do not hear that kind of riff anywhere else. That is all George.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, one thing I didn't know about this record is when I was wikiing it and doing a little research into the record, did you know that Rockin' Pod 2 guest Toby Wright worked on this record?
I had no idea. That's news to me.
I think he engineered it, or I think he engineered a song or two off of it, but he is credited on the album. If you go to Wiki and take a look. So that's cool. So hopefully we'll get a chance to maybe ask him a little bit about his work on Back for the Attack in 87.
That's cool. Yeah, we should.
Absolutely.
Please make sure you subscribe to our podcast, Growing Up Rock, and leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a like and leave us a comment on Facebook at Growing Up Rock.
All right. So in addition to rating our podcast and reviewing our podcast, how else can people lend a helping hand to us, Mr. Hollywood?
If you're festinating over buying some of the stuff that you need to buy on Amazon, there's no reason to festinate. You can just go through our link at the grownuprock.com. page. There's an Amazon link there. Just click on there and go do all your Amazon shopping. And Amazon kicks us back a little bit to help us with the hosting fees. Now, I bought something on Amazon and I have a different review of it than our buddy Steven here. So for those of you who know me really, really well, you know that I am about 90% deaf in my left ear. The doctor says it's something genetic. I think it was Y&T when I was 19 years old, because it's the same ear that was pounding against a speaker while I was watching Menichetti rip the solos at an Oakland nightclub one year.
I heard it was you bumped your arm when you had a Q-tip shoved in there and further in there.
No. So I heard you talking about these bone conduction headphones, and I had started checking them out. So I ordered some called Aftershocks.
Yeah.
Love them. I can finally hear out of both my ears the music that I love.
Doesn't it sound tinny?
Not at all. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Are those the ones that Cole recommended or no?
And you guys were talking about it, and I think he said Aftershocks. So when I looked it up on Amazon, they were $99, and I absolutely love them. And then I had Anthony try them today. He absolutely loves them.
Dude, I don't know. I swam with those things. And to everybody that is like, what the hell are these guys talking about? We're talking about these headphones that conduct, they don't go in your ears. They conduct off your forehead, the bone in your forehead, right?
Right.
And I used them to swim with because you can't wear headphones in the pool, obviously. So I used them because they made these swim model ones, and it was tinny sounding. It sounded tinny. It wasn't something I want to hear my rock music with. But, you know, Cole made a good point, which is, hey, I just listen to podcasts, and for that, it's probably pretty good. But now Pooney is debating that and saying that it sounds good. In all defense, he's deaf, so I don't know whether to believe him.
Maybe it was the waterproof thing or something, but I'm telling you, I listened to Kiss on. I listened to Ace's solo album yesterday on them. I listened to Metallica's Black album. And then I listened to Disturbed Asylum. And then I listened to podcasts, and they all sounded great. But I'm deaf in one ear, so what do I know?
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly my point, my friend. Anyway, the point is, you guys all shop at Amazon. We know you all shop at Amazon. We all shop at Amazon. Who doesn't shop at Amazon? So use the link at growinguprock.com. Go to that website, scroll down a couple of inches and hit the Amazon banner and go do your shopping. It doesn't cost you a dime more. It takes you straight to the Amazon site, but they kick back a little bit for helping us to pay for our hosting costs. That's the end of the push. Let's get back into a little bit of rocking with Dokken.
All right. So the next song, No Reason to Festinate. Just check this out. Does that remind you of?
I don't know. I listened to it three or four times today, though. You think that it sounds a little bit like our dudes with beards?
Yeah. The verses sound dead on Chief Sunglasses to me.
Huh. I'll have to listen to it again with that in mind.
Yeah, yeah. So, guys, you just heard the song called Voices of the Soul. It's from Erase the Slate. Great song, thumping bass. It's Reb Beach's first album. Reb is no slouch. Reb did a great job on this. But the verses sounded very Cheap Sunglasses to me, and it might have been the reason I really liked the song, honestly, because I really love ZZ Top. So, but yeah, it's a great song, though.
Well, yeah, I think it's not only a very good record, but I listened to that song three or four times today. It is a good song. I have no issues with it. So we'll go to something like Erase the Slate, to probably an even lesser known record, which is 2004's Hell to Play. Take a listen to this.
Safer today to go outside your window. Go down the stairs, you remember the way. New combinations you found in your letter, ready to fly and escape. You're off the meds and the bad tranquilizers. Keeping you down isn't your style of fun. Taking the walk in the park by the children, all that you want is a smile. Everybody's getting high today. Don't want it all to your mind. Fade away, fade away, fade away. What you want is some peace in the sunshine, far from the freaks who are on. Staring at TV alone with no sunsets. Time for your oranges and blues. You're off the meds and the bad tranquilizers. Keeping you down isn't your style of fun. Taking the walk in the park by the children, all that you want is a smile. Everybody's getting high today. Go on and on to your mind.
Fade away.
All right, so that song to me has got a little bit of a pop feel. And always good in the neighborhood about whatever drugs he wants to talk about. But leave my Jack Daniels and Jim Beam out of the song.
That is a song called Prozac Nation. And I think the lyrics speak for themselves. And this is a common theme with some of the tunes that I'm playing tonight, but I like kind of that lush, almost Beatlesque layering of vocals and some of the verses and stuff. I dig that. It sounds so pleasing to my ears. And so I dig this song. I've liked this song for a while, even though I didn't even have this record as a whole, but I did have this single. Well, I call it a single, but I had this download. So
yeah, I'm not in love with that album, really. Actually, that's the only song I like off that album.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is about that album. I just can't get into it.
Well, at least I picked the one you like, though, brother.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
All right, so we go from a kind of more Beatlesque song to a ripping, unbelievable riff. I cannot believe this song was not a single. From Under Lock and Key, Lightning Strikes Again.
You can feel it all around you, like a razor's edge that cuts through the air.
So that song left such an impact, they decided to name a later Dokken album after it. I think 2008's Lightning Strikes Again was actually taken from the song title of Lightning Strikes Again under Lock and Key, if I'm not mistaken. At least that's what I read in one of the things.
Yeah. First of all, again, one of my favorite solos of all time. I love that lower voice that he starts each verse with. I think that's really cool. Give me 100 of these. I can't argue against the singles. The Hunter, In My Dreams, Will the Sunrise, It's Not Love, Unchained the Night. I mean, okay, you can't pick every song. I get it. But man, in 85, this song would have done really, really well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So that leads me to my last pick. And I picked something a little bit different, but I absolutely love this song. So this one is coming courtesy of Reb Beach, Mick Brown, Don Dokken, Jeff Pilson off the 1999 Erase the Slate record, which is a reoccurring theme here on our list. Both Sonny and I have selections off of this record. Not a bad record. And this is a song that is called Crazy Mary Goes Round. Take a listen.
There's a girl next door with a leather coat, and she looks pretty good to me. My friends all say that you better watch out, there's a side of her you haven't seen. Still I took a ride, it was late at night, we were cruising along on a motorbike. Everything was right till Crazy Mary went down. So let me tell you, sides and I've seen them all, one for every day of the week. She gave me a scare, she was combing her hair, a long conversation, there was nobody there. Does anybody know what Mary's talking about? So let me tell you about Mary. Crazy Mary goes round. Let me tell you about Mary.
If it sounds a little different to you from that normal Dokken sound, that's because that's a song that Mick Brown sings. And I don't know, this may be the only Dokken song that Mick Brown sings lead vocals on. I don't think Don gives up the lead vocals to anybody else but Mick Brown on this song. I may be wrong, but I think that's the case. And obviously, to me, I mean, Mick sings pretty well. What do you think of that tune, dude?
It's a good tune. Mick Brown, I mean, you can't sleep on his skills, right? And he's played for Nugent. He sings. He writes. Actually, the next song that we're going to talk about he actually was the lead writer and Dokken had nothing to do with. What's interesting to me about Mick is out of all this mess between Dokken and Lynch, Mick played both sides.
Yeah.
Right? He's played in Lynch Mob and he's played in Dokken and he's in Dokken now. And every time Lynch Mob goes out, if he's free, he goes out with Lynch Mob. So obviously he is the ultimate diplomat. Now, what I've heard through the grapevine is it all has to do with Jack Daniels. Like, depending on who's screaming, he just feeds him Jack Daniels and everybody's good. So maybe that's how you become a diplomat. I don't know. But the guy definitely got skills.
I think Mick Brown is just a happy-go-lucky dude that likes to have fun. I had the privilege back in the day around the Tooth and Nail tour to meet Mick Brown, and he was a pretty fun dude, I must admit. You know, I just think he's kind of a crazy dude, fun-loving guy, and doesn't like to get hung up in all the bullshit minutiae being in a band. That's my take, anyway.
All right, so my final song of the Dokken songs, I picked a absolute Dokken classic. Again, Don did not write this song, so people might not know that. It was Mick Brown, George Lynch, and Jeff Pilson. I've said twice now, one of my favorite guitar solos of all time. So is this one. Dude, if this doesn't get your heart pumping, you might want to check your pulse. Tooth and Nail.
Just to watch them fall, tearing them apart.
So when I was researching this record, I found it interesting to kind of see the songwriting credits on this album as a whole. Don Dokken actually did not take that much of a front and center role on writing this record as much as Lynch and Pilson.
Yeah, I thought it was weird, but they also had this whole problem with, like, Werman was supposed to produce it, but then he walked off the job because he was sick of having to record Don's vocals in the morning and Lynch's stuff at night. And so there was a bit to do. So I don't know if Don did that to appease everybody, to let them write more. I don't know.
I don't know either. I was just kind of surprised to see it. I mean, it's not that Don didn't write plenty of stuff on the record. It's just not as much as I had originally anticipated. But classic. Love it.
It's also, you know, I always talk about my poker list.
Yeah.
Because the line, fate lies in the cards, this is on my poker list. So gets my heart pumping.
Sonny and his gambling. All right. That does it. Our top five Dokken list concluded. Bada bing, bada boom. Done. Send your hate mail. Send your freaking, I can't believe you left off this. Again, top five Dokken at this minute. I could change the list right now if I wanted to, but I'm not going to because we don't have all day.
You wanted the best, but you got the best. The hottest band in the world, Kiss!
It's time for your Kiss-storic moment on Growing Up Rock.
All right, so the Kiss-storic moment. So Don Dokken has done a Kiss song as a cover, and it was on 2013's A World with Heroes. It was a tribute album for cancer care that Mitch LaFond put together. So he knew all these guys and, you know, members from Guns N' Roses, Pantera, Firehouse, Dokken, TNT, LA Guns, Little Caesar, all these people. And they do, 40 songs on this two-disc CD. And Don decided to do the vocal on one of my favorite Kiss songs. Check out Cold Gin.
Time! is when it's coaching time again. You know it's the only thing that keeps us together.
It's just, it's slow.
Yeah.
Tommy Denander, I did not really know who that was. He's the guy who plays guitar. So I go wiki him, and did I get the goddamn phone book? Good Lord, dude. His wiki page has got him credited for landing on Mars or something. Like, it's got him credited for everything.
The one mayor of Music Town that you never even heard of.
Yeah. So yeah, check him out on Google, Tommy Denander, and whatever your favorite album is, or whoever your favorite band is, most likely it'll show up on that 20 pages.
Yeah, lots of Kiss connections there. Yeah. Check it out.
Woo.
All right, dude, that wraps up this long episode, and it is a long episode, but hell, you know what? We're almost a year old, and that brings us to what we got coming up here. So we got an anniversary episode in the works that's coming up. It's got to be coming up in the next few weeks, right, man?
That's right. I can't believe it's been a year already, man. You know, I remember, I think it was Chris that might have said, most podcasts don't last but a few months. If you last a year, you probably got something.
I guess we got something.
Yeah, because I do know podcasters that only lasted a few months. So I guess he was right.
Yeah. Well, you know, 57 episodes in, 58, whatever we're at now. I can't remember. I never can remember episode numbers, but I know we're in the 50s. I think we're 56, 57, 58 episodes, and that doesn't even include the time capsules and bonus episodes that we've done. So I think we're well on our way, my friend.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, not bad for a couple of people that never met each other before, what, a year and a half ago?
That's it. All yeah. For the love of rock and roll. And they say that rock is dead and they don't put any faith in seeing the arts in our schools and things like that, but hell, music showed us the way, didn't it?
It's incredible. I mean, even the fair thing that I went to see Warren, you know, Wisconsin, I've been living here now for about 9-10 months, and you know, I don't go out that much, but these folks that live here are a little different than I am. I'm a California boy, really. So I get to this concert, and dude, it's just like a community of rock fans. You just feel like you're at home almost immediately. It's just something about music that brings people together.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, you won't find a whole lot more loyal listeners than rock and roll, right?
That's right.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to pull up my Discover Weekly Spotify playlist and do a shuffle. And we'll see what it comes up with, because there's all kinds of stuff on that too. So hopefully it'll play something good. Here we go. Folks, we will holler at everybody next week. Until then, be kind to everybody. Raise your devil horns up high and continue to love rock and roll. See ya.
Rock on, people.
Get ready to shuffle, rattle, and roll. Play us out, boys.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.